Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do.
He's in the waiting.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Sarita House of Worship podcast. It is May 17th, and I just got some good news. We are planning to start to have a soft start on the church, returning back to services on May 31st. So those of you that are listening, I hope this is a welcome bit of news for you. So place that on your calendar, and we will be discussing what we'll be doing for compliance in that area with what our government is speaking to us. So thank God for what He's doing in the earth today. I believe that God is strengthening the body of Christ through all of this, that we are seeing greater things today. There's going to be an anointing. I'm expecting an anointing that is greater, hallelujah, from all the brothers and sisters that I talk to. And I thank God that He knows what He's doing. And so, praise God. Looking forward to what's coming up. Amen. Getting back to possible normal, if we want to call it normal, but getting back. Hallelujah. Going forward, getting back, going forward. Isn't that crazy? You know, we're going to get back, but we're going to go forward. And so it's neat. The kingdom of God is so full of great wonderful mysteries. It's full of these things. And so life is that way. So praise God. I'm going to be speaking out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And so the title of this message is Translation of the Kingdom. I changed it two or three times, but because of, well, one of the names was going to be called Transfer of the Kingdom. And what were we talking about in Chronicles here is when David was transferring the kingdom to his son, and there's he gives a little speech, and then he gives a prayer. But this transfer of the kingdom, I believe this kingdom is the translation of the kingdom, is what I call it, is because I believe God is translating this kingdom into the earth today. He is bringing a new thing that we haven't really noticed. And I believe God is causing things causing people to be able to hear what He's saying through His word. So I'm excited about that. So I'm going to start at verse 1. There's a lot of reading because we're going to go into both chapters. This transfer of the kingdom that David is doing with his son and before the people of Israel, it takes almost two chapters. And it's just a wonderful time of what David is excited about, placing the kingdom of Israel into the hands of his son. David I love David's life, his course. He was baby of the family, and he went from baby of the family to a shepherd, and from a shepherd he went to a musician in the courts of the king. And from the courts of the king, he went to a warrior position when he killed Goliath. And from the warrior position, he went to being a leader in the army for Saul. And from being a general over men, leading them into battle, winning battles. And then from there, he went to what God had appointed to be was the king of Israel. And quite a journey, quite a walk that David had. All planned by God, all ordained by the Father. Now David is passing over to his son, Solomon, his dream. He's transferring this kingdom. And I'll start at verse 1, but I just see so much of what God is doing today for the kingdom of God to be on the earth. Like I've said before, the kingdom of God is in eternal time. It is not in the time frame of mankind. It is in eternal time. So in that time frame, there has to be a mindset that's in that time frame in the earth, just as it is in heaven, the same mindset on earth as it is in heaven, the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we'll be talking about this a little bit today, a little more later on in the service. And it says, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course. and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. David had assembled all the Israel to him, all these men, all these workers, everyone that had anything to do with the kingdom, plus the people that were in his kingdom. He calls them and assembled them. Verse 2 says, David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever." David is stating he understands the choice of God, the predestination of God, that God chose him over all his house. And another place he even says that God chose him over Saul's house. So he understands that God's choice was upon him. Do you know for sure? Do you know that God's choice is on you? Do you know that you are God's choice? It's important that you understand that everything that you go through is ordained of God. It goes through God's mighty workshop, if you will, of him knowing what's happening in your life. Everything that comes to you, God knows about it. He does not get blindsided by anything or anyone that says something contrary to you, or he doesn't get blindsided. He knows what's going to come to you. So just be comfortable in that. Be strong in that God knows what's going on in your life. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father. Isn't that nice? Among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over Israel. I like that statement. God liked me. Do you know that God likes you? He likes you. God likes you. And he's got things for you. He's got things ordained for you. He loves you and he likes you. And he chose you. Verse 5 says, "And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day." I love that scripture. God says to David, "I have chosen your son to build me a house." David could not build the house because he had shed blood. He was a mighty warrior and he had killed some folks. And so God said, "Because you have shed blood, you cannot build this house." Can I tell you that the temple of God is holy? It really is holy. And it's the care that God is giving to explain this to David, that it can't be you, but it's going to be your son. He hasn't shed blood. He's not a man of violence. He's not a man of war. He is one that's going to build this house for me, is what God is telling David, and not you, David. I would get a little discouraged about that if it was me. Hey, wait a minute, God. I want to do that for you. I believe it was David's heart. It was David's heart that he built a temple, a house that would hold the Ark of the Covenant and the things of the priesthood. It was in David's heart to build that. But God has said, "No, you can't do that." He says, "Solomon will do it." And he says, "And I will be his God if he be constant." Constant. There's a word there that I love, man. Constant. Are you constant? Are you constantly going after the things of God? Or are you occasionally dabbling in things that you're not supposed to be dabbling in, or watching things, or saying things, or having attitudes about people, saying things about people. Are you doing that? Let me just say this to you. If we cannot get along as the body of Christ, if we can't speak good things about our brothers and about our sisters, if we can't do that, can I tell you there's some things that God's going to hold up for you till you learn that we are not to be judging one another as we are all servants of God. And God says that we cannot judge. We cannot speak things that are contrary to what God says to about other people. We cannot speak the things but God, what God says. God says they're blessed, then they're blessed. They cuss at you, they curse you, they make a false accusation to your face. You can do nothing but bless because they are children of God. That's the mindset of the kingdom. I love it. And it's to be constant in that, can I tell you, it can be hard. Am I right? To be constant, to be constantly loving, to be constantly saying good things about somebody, to be constantly, whether they believe you or not, whether they call you a liar, whatever, they call you an idiot, it's whatever. Be constant in the things that God is saying to you, and you watch. You watch how God will take up for your behalf, because he's watching over you and he sees those things that come to you. He hears them. David was that way. And I would have thought that David would have his way with God. He said, God, I want to build it. Not my son. I want to build it. But no, God said, no, your son's going to build it. If he remained constant. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, this is David speaking, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you. I love that. Leave it for an inheritance for your children after you. I want to look at a scripture real quick. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. It says this. Behold, the third time, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, he said, behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Paul is telling the Corinthians, I'm not seeking what you have, I'm seeking you. I'm coming after to speak to you. I want to speak good things. I want to speak the things of God's kingdom to you. And then he says this, it's kind of a neat word. He says, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. I don't know about you. I don't know what you feel, how you feel about this, but I believe in laying up for my kids. And I'm going to tell you something, for my children, for the children that are in this house, for the children of God, for the people, I believe in laying up for these folks. I believe in laying up for those. I believe in speaking the things of God to the people, laying up these treasures that are in those scriptures and saying, this is what God says about this. God says you are healed. That's a treasure. Do you not understand that it is a treasure to be healed by the Lord, to walk in healing, to walk in health. It is a treasure to you. I will lay up these things for my children and their children and their children so that they have these things and they grow in these things. Hallelujah. I want to lay up for my kids. I want to lay up for the family of God, for the children that are. I want to lay up these things. I want to speak the things that God says so that they might have even more and more than what I've ever had. Isn't that good? Yes. Hallelujah. That the parents would lay up for their children. Woo, hallelujah. And you're going to see this with David here, how he laid up stuff for his son. The end of that scripture said that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son. Now, David is talking to Solomon. Now, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast him off. He will cast thee off forever. Stern warning, but also with a blessing. If you serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, he will be with you forever. You will find him when you're seeking him. How many of you know it's so important that when you're seeking God for an answer, that it is so important that you find him. Nothing worse than going to God and, God, I got a question, and then never getting an answer. God's not that way. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you an answer. He wants to tell you when to soft start your church. Amen? He wants to give you that date. Hallelujah. He wants to do that, but you got to go after him for it. You can't just make up your mind and go. That's not the kind of God we serve. We are to be led by the Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to lead us into all those things that he has for us, because he knows the times and the seasons. And we are in the season of the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows. Verse 10 says, take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. I love that. Be strong and do it. There's been some men back here in the back. I'm not sure how many guys have been back there. Every time I go to the back of the church, where the lanes are being cleared, there's stuff out and ready to go out into the dumpster. And it's just, I'm looking at it, man, these guys are being strong and they're doing it. They're doing. Amen. They're being led by the Spirit, I believe, to go back there and to work. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Each and every one of us need to hear what God is saying for us to do. That's all there is to it. God might be telling you, just hold off, sit back, relax. And you see everybody else around you doing something. So you want to jump up, get up, do something, because you see everything. You're going by your own sight. He knows the imaginations that are in your heart, but yet he wants to say, I want to speak to you. I want to lead you. We can sit back here and watch all the churches open, and we get all fired up and get all, we got to go. No, man, that's not what God's trying to get us to do. God is saying, seek me, listen for me, allow me to take you to where I want you to go. Don't try to drive this thing. It's too big for you to drive. It's too big. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God and how it's running and how it's operating and how it's invading the earth is big. It's a big thing. And I believe that the Lord is so excited for those that will hear and will listen and will be led by the Spirit of God to do the things that he's asking them to do. Whew. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. Maybe I should have named this sermon, The Big Deal. Praise God. Be strong and do it. Verse 11 says, then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch. I love this. David is now passing over his desire, his love for what he wants to do. You're going to see that this really wasn't Solomon's temple that he built. They called it Solomon's temple after it was built. But actually, the pattern was given to him by his father. The pattern was given to him by David for this temple. But David didn't even give him the pattern. David didn't even have the pattern. The Holy Spirit gave David the pattern. I want you to see that here. I want to make it very clear. Then David gave Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat. Verse 12 says, and the pattern of all that he had, what's that word? By the Spirit. Everything that he had was by the Spirit. I love it. The Holy Ghost was showing David, this is how to build this house. This is the pattern. If you want to call it pattern, you can call it blueprints. We can call these things blueprints. We can call them, you know, these were the drawings that David had of the house of the Lord, given to him by the Holy Spirit. It's not a very big print there. It's kind of small. Easy to pass over when you're reading, but it's so important that when I saw that, I said, oh, Word of God says it this, not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. Anything that's good that man comes out of man is by the Spirit of God. Praise God. And he says, the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of all the treasuries of the house of God, and the treasures of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests, the Levites, giving instruction of how the Levites will handle themselves in the house, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold, weight. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold. I love this. Remember, this is the father. This is the father laying up for the children. He gave of gold by weight for the things of gold, for all the instruments of all manners of service, silver for all the instruments of silver by weight, for all the instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. A lot of words, lots of words. But here the Holy Spirit, God has given by weight what they will weigh. He gave all the instructions. You see, God's got plans. Amen. Sometimes we think that he doesn't know what's going on, but oh, he does. He's got plans. He knows everything. And when even the candlesticks, it even says, even the candlesticks, he gave the gold by weight for the candlesticks. Every detail, God is involved. I love it. And by weight, he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and for the bowls and for the cups and for the golden basins. He gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight. Gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, verse 19 says, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. Here it is, David once again saying, the Lord made me understand. All of this God gave me for the pattern of the temple. After receiving all of this from the Lord, I would say, God, I gotta build this. This is what I've got. I've gotta do what you showed me. But it's not about what David wants or about what I want. It's what God wants. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. And do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until you have finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and of the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Everything you need, David is saying to his son, everything you need is taken care of. Reminds me of a scripture. The Word of God says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of his son, Jesus. Getting to know God, knowing him more and more, provisions that God has for you become clearly seen. It's not until you seek the Lord with all your heart that these provisions that he has for you seem to get clearer and clearer and clearer. because you're seeking the Lord, because you're going after and you're spending time with him. And he wants to show you these things. He wants to show all the body of Christ what things he has for them. But we must all seek him for these things. We must all spend time with him. Prayer in the word, worship. So take note that the Holy Spirit was the one that gave the plan of the temple. Solomon's temple? Yeah, that's what we call it. But was it Solomon's temple? The plans were handed over to him by his father David, but the plans were written, were drawn up by the Holy Spirit. His plans. Oh, come on, man. His plans. If you're listening, say, God, I want your plans, not mine. Your plans. Chapter 29 says, furthermore, David the king said unto the congregation, Solomon my son. Now David is addressing the congregation. You see, there was a little bit of a confusion that happened when David was getting older. One of his sons decided that he was going to be the king. So he gathered a bunch of his brothers and they were preparing to maybe go in and set himself up as king because David was old. But Bathsheba went in and told David, this is the plan. But I believe that God had said to you that Solomon would reign. So David went ahead and called an assembly and told his folks that Solomon would be king. David told Israel. But so this is the second time This is the second when he addresses Israel and tells them, look, this is the way it is. This is what's going to happen here. He says, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. And the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble and stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Addressing the congregation, he's addressing all Israel. And he said, look, I myself have given to this project. I've given all these, and I think I'm going to read what my Bible says, that how much gold was given. 3,000 talents of gold, and I'm not sure what the money market was at this time, but it says $576 million worth of gold. David said, I have given the gold, I've given silver. And he says, now who? He's asking the congregation, now who is ready to consecrate service to the house of the Lord? Verse 6 says, then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. I love that. They offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and the silver and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom were precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And verse 9 says that the people rejoiced. Isn't it good to give? Isn't giving to God a good thing? To God, what God has placed in your heart. Here, David is addressing Israel, and these folks began to give, man. They gave they gave like crazy the way I see the scriptures. This was a work that God was doing, and yet he used Solomon. But David brought this, the Holy Spirit brought David to speak these things to the congregation, and boy, did they give. Verse 9 says, the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And the end of that verse says, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. How many like joy? Great joy. I love joy. I love dancing, rejoicing and dancing in the spirit. I love just doing, jumping. I love to jump. I can't wait till our musicians are back. And, you know, because I'm doing this at the house, but there's something about being in the congregation that just worshiping God with all my heart and all my, and this is what David did. Remember when David came, we were talking a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant that came out of Obed-Edom's house, because David asked, how's it going with the Ark of the Covenant, man? He's talking to the priest, how's it going down there? He said, hey, man, that man is blessed. Ever since we parked that thing in there, he's been blessed, man. He's driving a Lamborghini now. And he's, what? And David says, man, I'm going after that thing, man. David's heart was for the presence of God. And the presence of God, it brings everything that you need. Woo. And so David went, brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And when it got there, David was doing a dance. David was dancing with great joy. The Bible says with all his might, he was worshiping the Lord. And his wife, Michal, she got a little bit upset. And she told him, how wondrously you exposed yourself to all the young maidens in Israel. And David said, no, man, I was dancing before the Lord. It wasn't for them. It was for him. I can't wait till we get back in the house and we worship God. Oh, let me tell you, I want to start next week. Or I want to start last week. I can't wait till we have our musicians and the people of God in the house and the anointing of God flowing I can't wait. But I will wait. I'll wait on the Lord. Because I'm expecting great rivers of joy. Verse 10 says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. I love it. I'm going to say that again. Yours is the greatness, O Lord, and the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength, strength, strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Woo, praise God. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store we have prepared to build you an house for your holy name. It comes from your hand and is all of yours. Verse 17 says, I know also that my God, that thou triest the heart and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people. I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer so willingly unto you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart to you. And give it to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart. give to Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and all thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Verse 20 says, and David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. Praise God. God, with great joy, Dave, this transfer of the kingdom, this was the transfer of the kingdom. This was the David placing in his son Solomon's hands everything that he had actually lived for before God. David was full of joy to transfer this kingdom into his son's hands. He rejoiced with great joy, is what verse 9 of chapter 29 said. David rejoiced with great joy. I want to talk to you about your joy. How is your joy doing these days? Are you frustrated or are you running on joy? I want to tell you, I have to run on joy because I don't like being frustrated. I don't like going through some of the things I do. So the joy that I am experiencing in my life is because I am going to the Lord. I am going to Him. I'm spending time in His presence. I am praying like I haven't prayed before. I love the presence of God. And I love what He's saying. I love what He's saying. I believe there is a translation of the kingdom of God in the earth. This earth has to be translated. It has to be. And God says, I'm doing it by my Spirit. I am opening the mysteries that have been hid from the foundation of the earth. You see, when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, He said, the disciples came to Him and asked Him, why do you talk to them in parables? Why are you talking like that? And I might have mentioned this the last time, but I feel the Holy Spirit saying this. The mysteries of the kingdom, Jesus said, He says, it has been given to you to understand, to know the mysteries of the kingdom. These mysteries are things that have to be opened in Revelation, where the Holy Spirit takes a mystery that's hidden to you from you, and He opens it up to you so that you might see what He has for you, or what's coming, or whatever those things. These mysteries are being opened today. But it's to those that will spend time with the Holy Spirit, that will spend time with God, so that the Holy Spirit will open these things. Right after Jesus tells them, it's been given to you, but to them it hasn't been given. He says this, to as many as have. He is talking about the mysteries. It takes mystery upon mystery upon mystery. It is a progression of mysteries that really strengthen your life. You find another mystery, you find something else. Oh, it opens up to you, and you search it out, and you look, and you dig in it, and you find it, and you find that God has been speaking something to you that maybe He has never spoken to anybody else, or maybe He's speaking to somebody that you don't know. The same mystery. These things God does by His Spirit to a heart that's willing. He said in our reading that He says that you be of a willing mind. Are you willing enough to say, God, show me what you're saying. Explain it to me. Explain it. I think Ricky Ricardo says, explain it. Explain it to me, Lucy. Explain these things. And God is desiring to open these things up to the hungry, to those that desire the kingdom, that are tired of looking backwards at what we used to do and saying, God, how you want to do it now, God? Show us how to do it now. I believe the church has been stuck in a place where all they know is what's been behind them. And they're not looking any place to look forward. They're not asking. Oh, they want the world to go. Everybody's carrying the new iPhone 11 or whatever. I don't even know where it's at now. Everybody's carrying that. They're expecting the world to progress. But as far as God, no. We like the old tradition. We can do the same old thing that we always done. No, it's not that way. God is saying, I'm opening these things. It comes by the mysteries of the kingdom of God, Him opening up. Do you know that salvation is a mystery? It really is. Do you know that being born again is a mystery? Nicodemus was sitting there looking at Jesus, says, how can this be? Can I crawl? Can I get back into my mother's womb and be born again? It was a mystery to him. God was opening a mystery. And there are mysteries upon mysteries. I didn't get very high in my high school years with mathematics. But I'm told that you need almost basic math to get to general math. And you need general math to get to algebra. And you need algebra to get geometry. And then you need geometry to get to trigonometry. And then you need trigonometry and all those things in front of it to get to calculus. And so on, because I don't know the rest of those names. I don't know them. I got no idea. I have to have somebody explain some of those to me, the order. But you see, it takes mystery upon mystery upon here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. And not only that, but it takes what scriptures say, the stammering of the lips, praying in the spirit. Because these mysteries are mysteries. And they're mysteries that are being revealed. And I believe that praying in the Spirit opens the door for revelation for that person that is so hungry for what God is doing in the earth today. So hungry. I thank God that he's given us a building. I thank God that he's given us. But I thank God even more than that, that he's opening these things to the body of Christ in the earth, because we are the body of Christ. In the book of Jude, Jude pens where he said, and Enoch said, I see the Lord coming with 10,000s of the saints. And I don't believe, I've looked at this and I said, this is the body of Christ. He's talking about the body of Christ on the earth, speaking to the people that are around them, saying, convincing them that God, that Jesus is Lord, convincing them that God is in charge of everything in their lives. That's what I see in the book of Jude when he's talking about, we are the body of Christ in the earth. And we should be full of joy. Amen? Full of joy. I talked to a Christian the other day, and he about bit my head off because he goes, when are you starting? We're not talking about it yet. What? You're full of fear and all this. Come on, man. Wait a minute. See, hallelujah. You ever heard of something being called be led by the Spirit? You ever heard of that? That got him kind of going also. So I said, I better stop now. Because let me just say this to you, that the Holy Spirit is orchestrating everything that we see. And it's important that we listen to him. Pray in the Spirit. Allow God to speak to your heart, because he is opening mysteries. Mysteries for you. Sometimes there might be a mindset that, well, the mystery's already open. He's spoken everything that he's going to speak. No, he's not. He has mysteries that will be revealed in almost every vessel, I believe, that's in the body of Christ. God is opening these things. Woo. Hallelujah. Joy. John chapter 15, Jesus said this. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. These things I've spoken to you. Let's look at that a minute. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What was Jesus' joy? Hallelujah. What was his joy? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was his joy? What was it? It was the knowledge that God is doing everything. It is by the Spirit. It's not by might. It's not my power. It's by my Spirit. His joy was the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. His Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what his joy. Then he's saying that he wants his joy to remain in you. Are you allowing him to remain in you? I have said it before and I'll say it again. There are many Christians that, yeah, they love God and they know God and everything, but what they are allowing themselves to do is to walk in their own spirit. And that's a danger to the body of Christ. You don't walk in your own spirit. You walk in the Spirit of God. You be led by the Spirit. And then you'll see the great things that God has for you. Don't allow your spirit to lead you. Allow the Holy Spirit and Him alone. Divine influence is what He's called. He is the grace of God. He is divine influence from above. Again, I want to read Romans 14 through 17. Here's Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's the kingdom. Paul is addressing some eating in the temple, sacrifice to idols. He's addressing that, but then he throws this out there. It says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's not in the natural. Meat and drink is the natural. It says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost because God brings righteousness and peace to you. So there's joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is what the scriptures describe it as. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, I want to read John 15, 10, and 11. So Jesus is talking. Here's verse 10. Verse 10 says, hallelujah. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them. Oh, this will work. This will work. This is Nehemiah 8, 10. Send portions to them to whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Talked a minute, just a little bit of that joy that Jesus had said that my joy be in you. And that's in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. You have it? Yeah. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Maintaining that close connection with the Father is what Jesus is talking about. Abiding in His love. Doing things that are right, which is called righteousness. Hallelujah. And verse 11 says that these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might be remain in you and that your joy might be full. Doing those things, allowing His joy to remain in you. What is His joy? It's the Holy Ghost. His joy was the Holy Spirit. And then in Nehemiah now, it says that the last few words in Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That strength is what carried the Lord to the cross. That joy carried Him to the cross, despising the shame, yet the joy that was set before Him took Him to the cross. It was the strength that He walked in going to that cross. I don't know if I would have been able to carry that cross. I don't know if I would have been after the beating He took. I doubt if I've been able to. I know I wouldn't have been that strong. But it was His joy that held Him and carried Him and took Him. And He says that that same joy might remain in you. Is it remaining in you? Are you allowing that joy to bubble up from within you, that rivers of life to come through you and into the atmosphere that's around you? Are you allowing those things? Or have you taken a different posture and looking around at the things and constantly thinking about the things of this world? Stop that. Look towards the Father. Go after Him. Find what He's saying to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 11 says this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. If there's ever a time that we need the life of Jesus to be manifest in our mortal flesh, it's now. The world needs us. The world needs what we have. It's very recognizable to those that are without that a man or a woman of God, when they're full of joy, that joy might not be visibly seen, but it can be felt. It can be. Can I tell you, the presence of God is something that people can feel. They might not understand it, but they'll feel it. I remember I shook a hand of a contractor to come into my office when I was working, and I had been praying that morning, and I had been walking and praying, and I got back in my office. I was kind of hot and sweaty, and I had just sat down. A contractor walked in, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Hey, you got a few minutes?" I said, "Sure I do, man. Come on, man." And I reached out across the top of my desk, and he goes, "Woo, man." He goes, "What is that?" He goes, "Are you a brother?" See, he is a brother. And I said, "Yeah." He goes, Man, I feel something. I said, "That's the Holy Ghost, man. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost?" He goes, "Yeah, I believe in him." It turns out the brother had not been baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. But when we live our lives with the joy of the Lord, it is very noticeable. People will see it. They will sense it. They will. Pastor Pat was talking about he'd met a guy in Walmart, and the guy walked right up to him and was talking to him. He says, "You're a believer, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm a believer." And they had a great time talking to each other in Walmart without masks. Amen. Praise God. People sense. Always bearing about in the body. Talking about us bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What is that? What does that mean? We're dying to what we try to do and what we're trying to think and how the world is doing this and how we stop living that way. And then we just start living and looking at Christ, looking at Jesus. Paul the Apostle said it this way. He goes, "You know, what I had before, I counted all as manure, as dung." He says, "That I might have him, that I might know him." And that's what, when we get to know him and we're walking in that joy that comes through him, folks will know, recognize, and understand. They will be asking you questions. Isn't that right, Pastor John? They will be saying, "Pastor, what are you?" They will say, "John, what's with you, huh? How come you got that silly looking grin on your face? Come on." And you tell them, because our world is in need. God is translating his kingdom into the earth. We're in the middle of the translation. We are in this translation. God is changing us, our mindsets. Be of a willing mind, is what David told Solomon. Colossians 1:13 says this: be of a willing mind to be transformed. Talking about God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Are you being translated? Are you allowing him to translate you into this kingdom? Allow him, church. Allow him what he needs. Have a willing mind, a heart that loves him. Allow him to show you these things, because the time is now. The kingdom of God is on the earth, and it's here through us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Thank you for the translation of the kingdom. Father, we do speak, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, Father, as it is in heaven. So we thank you, Father, that you are doing this through the body of Christ that's on the earth today. Father, we thank you that there shall nothing by any means hurt us. We thank you, Lord, that we abide under the shadow of the Most High. We dwell in the shadow of the Most High. We thank you, Father God, that you have created that place for us. It is all about what you have done and are doing. So God, we thank you. We praise you for it. Now I ask you, Father, that you would take these words. You would minister to those that that have need this morning or have been anxious about things going on, Father, you would minister these things to that person, that you are doing everything. It is you doing. And I pray, Father, that you would touch those that don't know you. The Father God, that you would draw them into the kingdom, those that you have predestinated to become sons and daughters of God. Father, I pray that you would bring them into the kingdom, that you would, Father God, cause them to know and to hear, Father God, what you are saying to them personally, Father. Thank you for it, God. I praise you for it, God. This is the day that you have made. I do rejoice, and I will be glad in it, Father. I am glad, Lord, that today is the day of salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for listening to Sarita House of Worship. I will say amen and amen to these things because it is so be it, Lord. Let it go. Thank you for listening to this podcast in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening today. Look for our new podcast, Showtime, this coming Wednesday. In the meantime, you can get updates and further information about our church at welcometotheshow.org. Until next time, God bless.